Hey, fighters, today I'm excited to share a conversation I had with my buddy Brian Drux. He is the CEO of Where Trades Go. Brian has been a longtime business owner in the commercial painting world out in New Jersey. We've crossed paths for many years back and forth in our journeys. But anyway, he's got a great new company, an app that's come out called Where Trades Go. I encourage you to go to wheretradesgo.com and download it. Also on the Apple Store, basically a matchmaking service to help you find people to work for you, which I know is a big need for so many people. So anyway, without further ado, here is my conversation with Brian. Brian, what's going on? Welcome to the fight. How are you doing this morning?
You know what? All is good, but you know, it's only 9. It's 11 o'clock. So we'll wait, give it till noon, and then we'll really be able to judge how the day's going.
It's 11 o'clock. Yeah, you're talking like this is early, man. You know?
Where are you located?
I'm Colorado Springs, so I'm 9 o'clock.
Okay.
So, you know, I just rolled out of bed about 4 minutes before this thing, you know, and you know, because I don't get up early anymore.
But I hear you.
No, I'm kidding. I was up and ready to go, but man, so where are you at? East Coast.
We are 30 minutes west of New York City in New Jersey. So we spend a lot of time in the city.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's all good here in Jersey.
There you go. What is your absolute favorite, most favorite thing to do in New York City?
So when the weather is halfway nice, which means as long as it's not snowing and torrential downpour, we find a street, we park our car, first parking spot, and we walk, and we end up finding things that we never knew existed.
It's cool.
Every time we go in, which is probably 3 times a month, we try to find a new restaurant, a new little small business, a little boutique-y kind of place, meet the owners, and my wife and I have a good time doing that.
I love it, man. I love it. That's good stuff. So how this conversation came about is interesting. We touched base, I think it was last week, to set this thing up and stuff, but I was perusing the feeds of the LinkedIn machine and came across a post that you did that we'll get into a little later of a new project you have going on. But what was funny is when I saw your name, I'm like, I know that guy. And so I've been in the painting industry since I think forever, because my uncle's a painter. I grew up in the industry, but like I started my first business, I want to say 2002.
Okay.
So 21 years ago, 2001, right in there. And when I came on the scene, there were like all these, what did they call them? Forums.
Yep.
All those online forums, and there were a bunch of magazines. And I remember seeing your name all over the place, like doing articles for stuff like that, or people asking your opinion. I think you did a little speaking in the industry and stuff. So my point here is you've been around a hot minute or two.
Too damn long. I got the gray hairs to prove it.
Yeah. Give us the overview, man, of where you came from and your companies and
Absolutely.
Things like that.
So I am 4 generations in the painting business, actually in the wall covering business. Started when I was 14 working with my grandfathers and uncles and swore that I would never get into the business. But I'm a musician, still am. And so my father said, if you want to be a musician, you better learn a trade to fall back on. And I remember I was probably about, I graduated high school. I went to music school for a semester and 3 weeks, and then the band got some deals. So I dropped that at Berklee School of Music and started playing. And it was probably 2 or 3 years that, you know, we were playing the club circuit and traveling around, and my father was getting fed up with me, you know, and so my grandfather called me up and said, I need some help. So can you come help me? And you can take any days off you want for your band. Mm. And, you know, they say the worst thing for a musician is to make money.
Yeah.
So I started making money, not in music. And I said, oh, this is kind of nice. So that was it. I went back to work with my grandfather and all my uncles. And eventually, they all retired. And I broke off and started my own thing. Mm-hmm. And although the family was strictly wallpaper, and I'm a paper hanger by trade, we started adding the painting business in. And, you know, it was wonderful. Business just got worse and worse. And I kept losing more and more money as my business kept growing. And
that takes a special talent to be able to do that, you know.
It really is a skill. And I remember the PDCA at the time, which was the Painting and Decorator Contract Association. Now they're the PCA. Mm-hmm. But I went to one of their local chapter meetings and learned more in that meeting because, again, I had no knowledge, no education in the business side. My grandfather ran the business literally out of a shoebox on the top of his closet. And that was it. That was my education. So I started, you know, building up a business from there, got out of the residential world, got into the commercial world. Now I have a union painting company called Drux Incorporated. We paint everything from giant stadium to warehouses, office complexes, hospitals. We have a pretty good mixed basket of clients. So, you know, we were just kind of looking at our plan for the coming year, and we got clobbered by COVID by us because we're surrounded by office parks,
right,
in the suburbs. And, you know, of course, they just all drained right out. And fortunately, we had a lot of warehouses, tilt-up warehouses, which kept us working. And in New Jersey, construction was considered essential, so we never closed down at all. Mm. But the ramifications of all of that took about a year to feel. And we got hit hard last year between, you know, sometimes you don't find out till the last third of a job really how the job is doing. Yeah. And restructured, and this year we're having a great year painting business. My connection to you as far as the thing, articles and things like that you've read, is I started my first software company called Your Cost Center. And this
Remember
was
that.
Probably 15 years ago. And then the PCA hired me to be a speaker. And I traveled around the country speaking at anything from a Sherwin-Williams event, a Benjamin Moore event. I did the same thing for electrical contractors. I wrote articles in trade publications. The New York Times wrote about our software. So that's got my feet into the software business. I've since started three software companies, one for musicians, one for networking, and one for some utility tracking.
Yep.
And that brings me to where we are today.
Crazy. What instrument you play?
Guitar and sing.
Guitar and sing. I'm a drummer, man. I used to gig like 5-6 nights a week and did some studio work for a number of years. And it's funny, my uncle's a painting contractor. And there was a point in time, I think there was 12 of us on his crew at one point, and every single one of us was in a band.
There's no doubt that the trades and musicians go hand in hand.
They do, man.
Because
they
of the flexibility that the trades offer us.
Right.
You know?
And then I love that you said the worst thing you do is make money, because I started making some money and the band went away. So anyway, well, I want to talk about your latest thing because I think it's meeting a need. You got a lot of years under your belt at this, and we got a lot of guys listening to this show, a lot of men and women in the all different sorts of trades and stuff. And I'm curious what comes to mind if you could go back in the Wayback Machine, knowing what you know now. And actually, no, let's just bring it right here. Everything goes away in every company you have right now, and you got to start a new company from scratch today. What are a couple of the things that come to mind that you're going to make sure that you do from day one? I'm always curious to ask somebody with your experience that question.
Well, you know, like probably most people in any business, and there's a whole group of books called The E-Myth, that talk about this, is, you know, we all are experts in what we do, whether that be painting or contracting or practicing law or whatever. And we don't know about the business side. And the number one thing that I learned and wish I knew a bazillion years earlier was understanding how to read your profit and loss statement. You know, we run our business now by gross profit. I call it the me number. I call it the we number. The net profit is the me number, and gross profit is the we number.
And there you go.
And when a business understands the meaning of gross profit and how it affects everything in your business, from billing, cash flow, profitability, accountability, it's the light that goes off. And when I consult for people now and I get a real good handle on their gross profit, it usually takes a lot of time because their books are a mess.
Yeah.
They're not set up accurately. So getting a handle on that is at an earlier age. I probably had, you know, 15 years at least before I even understood what the term gross profit and cost of goods sold. So that was the number one thing.
I love that. Are you familiar with Mike Michalowicz? Mm-mm. Okay, so Mike is an author, speaker, stuff. He wrote.
Oh, wait a second. Profit he's from New first. Jersey.
Yeah, he's from Jersey.
He's in my EO group. I belong to EO, which is the entrepreneur organization.
So he wrote Profit First and a bunch of other books. We had Mike speak last year at an event we did down in Florida, and he's been on the show a couple times. And Mike and I were chatting about the gross profit thing. And I told him one of the things I loved about his book, Profit First, is he calls gross profit real income. Mm-hmm. And when you flip it like that, and you know, we talk damn near every piece of content. I mean, dude, you know, I don't know if you know a whole lot about the fight here, but we do, you know, hundreds of pieces of content a month, from everything from shorts to blogs to social media posts to podcasts to YouTubes and this and that. I would bet that 50 to 60% of the things that come out of my mouth are around how to raise your gross profit. So that's speaking our language here. And we have a real simple rule here in the fight. Number one is, if it costs you a buck, charge at least two. That's what we teach people to do, you know, and because the faster I believe you can raise your gross profit, the faster you get out of the financial gutter, right? And you have that, what you call the me number at the end. If you want to hire, and people are always like, you never talk about net profit, Tom. I'm like, because most of you guys have no clue how to even, you know, make money on the current job you're doing right now, and you're never going to have a net profit. I mean, dude, you know, you've worked with people for how many years? Most guys don't even know what their damn overhead is. You put a room of 100 contractors together, yep. And I do this when I speak. I go, raise your hand if you know what your monthly break-even revenue is and how to do it, you know? And so that's why we always keep it really simple with the gross profit. Then as you grow and you learn your numbers, you can kind of dial some of those other things in. But if you want to make oxygen quickly, I mean, I remember the first time my eyes were open to gross profit, we did a couple hundred thousand dollars less in revenue that year, because all we focused on was gross profit, but we put like another 150 in our pocket, you know, so because of gross profit. So I just love when, you know, you come on here and you're like, man, you got to know your numbers and get your GP up.
The weird thing about accounting systems is that people think that accounting systems, you got to ask your accountant about. Mm-hmm. And the goal of an accountant is to pay the least amount of taxes. At least that's the goal I hope when I hire an accountant. And the way they do that is they make the bottom line as little as possible. And the goal of every contractor is to make as much money as possible. And they want the bottom line to be as big as possible. Mm-hmm. And so those two of you are constantly, you know, clawing each other to find some middle ground. You know, you got to keep your books in good shape, not only for tax purposes, but you want to get lines of credit and things like that. But, you know, the things that get buried under your overhead, you know, that's why it's all about, that's the me, what I want to do, what kind of office I want to have, what kind of car I want to write off on the business, how much I'm going to write off dinners and all that other stuff. And nothing in my company affects that except my personal decisions. Yet labor and how you buy your materials and how you categorize your people for workers' comp and how you do safety and get your experience modification factors down, mm-hmm. that's all controlled by everybody in your company. So that's why it really is the we number versus the me number.
Yeah, well, everybody has some influence over that number, right? Absolutely. You know, I mean, I remember, you know, when we first started learning about gross profit, we pulled all our crew leaders together and we're like, this is why it's important to hit jobs on time, right? To bring it in on time, on budget, all this other stuff. And we taught them the implications of when we hit budgets versus when we don't. And I think the big key that got us to rally the troops was we always try to communicate in a way with our team of what's in it for them, right? Because a lot of times they just see the owner, the boss, the foreman, whatever coming on the job site bitching about the hours, but they don't know why the hours are important, why it's important to take a little time and pre-plan a project. I mean, shoot, dude, we just started pre-planning jobs. This is like 20 some years ago now. Pre-planning jobs, that one activity raised our gross profit like 5 to 7 points right out of the gate.
Yep.
Just because we had a plan going into it. I'm blown away by how most contractors of any kind don't really have a plan of how they're going to do the job. You know, they sell the thing and then they just show up and hope that it works out. But and hope they have enough skilled manpower to get it done. Because I don't know about you, but I'm hearing that a lot now. Is, man, I'm selling all this work and I can't find any people. And Brian, you know what? Somebody said to me, I wish there was a place that I could go online, you know, and just like where tradespeople could go to find help.
There you
and,
go.
You know, do you know any place like that? I'm so cheesy. Anyway, I'm teeing up Brian for his new company here that's launched this year in 2023. And dude, you saw a need and you're meeting the need, which you have a history of doing, by the way, right? Out of all these years you've been doing this, like you see a need. I mean, that's one of the things I remember real quick about seeing you in all these magazines and stuff. It's like you always had your core business, right? The painting company, but there was the cost one, right?
Yeah, your cost center.
Your cost center. Like you've always been on the fringes of meeting other needs in the industry, which has been pretty cool. So what's your latest thing going here, man? This is why I reached out to you initially, because I thought this would be a value to our audience.
So I belong to a group called EO. EO stands for Entrepreneur Organization, Worldwide Organization. You have to be the owner of your company. You have to have a certain amount of revenue. And it is not a networking group. It's an educational sharing group. And we had an assignment for our group to come up with a business idea. And I don't know if you know about the Blue Water Strategy, which is a great book.
Yep.
But come up with a Blue Water Strategy for your new business. So I came up with this idea, another software app concept, which is basically to solve the labor issue for contractors. And, you know, right now, if you want to hire, you're looking to hire contractors, mm-hmm. you've got a few different options. You can go to LinkedIn or you can go to Monster. You can hire, you know, use any of those services. And you spend a crazy amount of money, probably up $700 to $1,000 a month. And if you look at the pool of who is on these sites, the chance of tradespeople going on these sites is so small. Tradespeople don't hang out there. And, you know, if you think back to your single days, you know, if you wanted to meet somebody,
so
for me, when my wife, I met her in a bar.
Yeah.
Because if you want to meet somebody, that's where you go. That's where single people hang out. And where do tradespeople hang out? They're not hanging out on a Monster, and they're not hanging out on Instagram or any of these sites. So we figured out that if we built a site and we built an app and we built it correctly and we can get tradespeople to hang out there, then that's the place where tradespeople are going to go. And that's why we didn't name it, you know, today everybody's got a cool name for their app. It's Zoom, it's Zillow, it's all these crazy, crazy short little names. What they have to do with what they're selling, I have no idea. So we went old school. We went where trades go, where trades go to find jobs, where trades go to get better skills, where trades go to find guys like you who can help them, you know, grow their business. We don't know what we don't know. And trying to find the way to fix that in this day and age, which you think with the internet would make it even easier, it's made it even harder. You know, if you go back, I'll go back, you know, I'm 62, so I'll go back 30 years ago. And when you wanted to find what's going on in your world, there was one place. It was your local town paper, right? Yeah. Those told you the stores that were open. And if you wanted to hire somebody, you would put an ad in the classified. Now, everything is so broken down and microed out that there's a million places that you can find this information. But none of them really specialize, other than some of these chat groups that you mentioned earlier, in what we do. And tradespeople are very unique. You know, we're really good at using our hands, but we're also musicians. We're really good at using our hands, but we're coaches for our kids' little league, things like that. So we don't have a lot of free time between all the things that we're juggling. So the concept of Where Trades Go was a very simple app where tradespeople and contractors can go. And just like a dating site, we're going to match you two up. And that's the basic concept of where we came up with Where Trades Go.
Yeah, we were talking last week, I think it was, about this a little bit. And what was interesting is the way that you guys are vetting these tradespeople for the companies to look at them. Tell us a little bit about that, because I know, you know, every contractor, business owner is like, you know, am I going to get somebody who knows what the hell they're doing, right? What's that look like?
Well, you know, we have a problem as contractors in that we put a lot of trust when somebody says they have skills, and then we put them on the job site. And the only way to determine if they have skills is put tools in their hands. And the amount of damage to a job site, the amount of damage to our reputation as qualified contractors in the hands of an unskilled employee can happen in 1 8-hour shift. The damage to your reputation, the damage to the materials that you bought, the damage to wall covering at the cost of wall covering, at paint at almost $100 a gallon retail, you know, it only takes 2 gallons to kill any profit you made in a week off of one guy.
Right.
So when it comes to skills, what our site does that, and there are some other sites that kind of are in our area, but nobody does what we're doing, how we're doing it. So we qualify. If somebody says they have a skill, and that skill could be whether it be painting, spraying, whether it be spackling sheetrock, we ask you a bunch of questions. Some of them are verbal. Some of them are visual. You know, sometimes when you ask somebody, you call it one thing, but on the other side of the country, you call it something else. So we've mixed up these skill tests with a combination of visuals and text questions. And in order to be qualified with the skill, you have to get these questions right. And once you get them right, our site says he's now, you know, qualified. But the sad thing is that talking about what you don't know, is how does somebody who doesn't have skills get qualified? So with our app, if you take our test and you fail it, well, we don't just shut you out. We point you to somebody, someplace that can get you those skills. So that could be a manufacturer, like Sherwin-Williams is going to run a class on epoxies. It could be a trade school in your area. It could be an apprentice program. It doesn't make a difference if you're union or non-union. You guys decide what you want to do with that. We just expose you to those things. And then you take a class from Sherwin-Williams. They give you a certification card. You can upload that to your profile. And now when a contractor matches up with you, he sees not only did he pass the skill test now, but here's the certifications that he has, whether it be an OSHA 30 card, whether it be a scissor lift, whether it be, you know, a manufacturer's class on a certain product. You know, we do fireproofing in our company. And so we have the manufacturer of the fireproofing product run a class. Our guys get those skill little cards, they upload them to their profile, and now they've got documentation on it. So that's how we handle the skill tests and proving that these tradespeople have some of the skills. And they're timed. There's not enough time for them to Google the answers.
Right. Right. No, that's good. Yeah. I mean, I know you got the skills test on here. I'm looking at the website right now. It's cool here that you put a request in of the employment type that you're looking for, you know, full part-time subcontractor, whatever, different dates that you need people. I love how all the skills are there. You got some stuff on here about background checks that you guys do. It sounds like, did I get that right?
I'll share with you something interesting. So I am a union paying contractor. I am a trustee on the management side for the IUPAT, which is the painters, spacklers, and gladers. And when they send us somebody out of the union hall, there is no background check on them. There's no e-verify in them. I don't know what I'm getting. And most of the time, it comes payroll day when they finally send all their information. And we found out that this person has been working for us and everybody else illegally. So what we decided with Where Trades Go is we are going to do background checks. But, you know, every state has different laws on how you can use a background check. But all the states agree that you, as yourself can do a background check on yourself. So our background check through our app is the tradesperson does it on themselves. And it basically says there are no red flags across the country, meaning they didn't murder anybody. They didn't steal anything. They don't have any federal charges against them. We don't go down to the county level. That requires more than we can offer. But
right.
So a tradesperson can do a background check. Oh, very soon they're going to be able to do an e-verify. So when a construction company wants to hire somebody, they can see the skills that this person has. They can see the certification. They see that there's a background check already. They see that this person has been e-verified. They can hire them instantly. And, you know, you brought up about part-time, full-time. So let's kind of run through that. Sometimes we're very happy with the staff that we have. We've got five guys working for us. We're not looking to grow any bigger. And then we get that one job where we need two or three extra guys to make a deadline. And we're not looking, again, to hire anybody full-time. So how do you find somebody who either A, wants part-time work or wants to work this Saturday? So we took the app concepts of Uber and some of those other ones that will give you instantaneous matches. So through our app, you can hire somebody just for this Saturday.
Yeah.
And a tradesperson can say, yeah, I'm looking for full-time, I'm looking for part-time, I'm looking for rush jobs, which this would fall under. You know, also, you could, a tradesperson could be working for me and they're very happy. They're not looking to get a new job, but they can use this app to find some work on a Saturday because maybe my company doesn't work on a Saturday. Or maybe it's Christmas time, I could use some extra cash.
Yeah, well, I'm just thinking, you know, like right now, as we're recording this, it's December and, you know, this is the time of year, depending on where you're at with climate you have, things slow down a little bit and you like the company that you work for, but you've got to have some money coming in and, you know, it just gives you another option. And I think it's a great way for, you know, somebody to meet their needs, but still stay on board with their main company, man.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing that's interesting, and I think COVID certainly brought this out, is that all of a sudden people started moving around, right? Now, some jobs, when you have an office job, you can work remotely, doesn't matter where you live, which is wonderful for those industries. That doesn't work for us, construction. We are still hands-on. But there are times that we may travel. Maybe we'll go down in the winter, we'll go to Florida for a couple months, or I'll go stay with our family somewhere for 2 weeks. And all of a sudden, you find yourself a little short on cash. Well, you can use our app just to find work temporarily in a new zip code where you just happen to be. You turn on the app, you say, I'm traveling, this is the zip code that I'm going to be, and I'm looking for 2 days worth of work.
Yeah.
Put some extra cash in my pocket.
Yeah.
You can use the app for that.
I love it, man.
If you've ever considered the time you spend in the sales process and then divide that by the people who wasted your time, then I know you're going to want to download our guide to spotting a cheap customer. Go to thecontractorfight.com/cheap. It will help you spot a tire kicker a mile away so that you don't invest a crazy amount of time on the wrong prospects. If you want to shave your estimating time in half and sell projects to people who are ready to pay for the value that you bring, head to thecontractorfight.com/cheap and grab the guide to spotting cheap prospects today.
Yeah, I'm thinking we had a project many years ago where we had to paint like 150 college dorm rooms in like 3 days.
Yeah.
And we had, I want to say 30 guys going almost around the clock to get everything done that we had to get done. It was crazy, you know, and this was a long time ago, but this would have been really nice to have then because it was like several months of us trying to gear up, you know, and it would have been nice to just have something to go like a dating app, like you said, and say, I need some people. If somebody wants to check this out, where do they go? Where can they get the app?
So the website is called Where Trades Go, and there is a mobile app, which hopefully would be released in the next week. We're just working out some kinks with the background check, but then that'll be available at the Apple App Store.
Awesome.
Contractors, the contracting side is not going to have an app that you have to do on our website, which is Where Trades Go, because the data that you're going to see is too big to fit on a phone. And for contractors, so you can use our app to find workers, and whether that's full-time, part-time, or subcontractors. So even though we're a painting contractor, we don't touch floors. We don't touch epoxy. Yeah. So we would potentially use it to find subcontractors who do epoxy for us. You could be a painting contractor who does residential work. You're painting outside. You've got some rotted wood. You can use our app to find a subcontractor who does carpentry and fix your wood like that. So the contractors part of the site will be available in February. And the reason why we've got the delay between the two is we've got a chicken and the egg. You know, if you have all the tradespeople sign up and then there's no contractors, tradespeople won't get any jobs. Yeah. But for the tradespeople, it's free. For the contractors, they're going to pay us one yearly fee of $1,500. Run as many jobs as you want. Run them constantly in the background. Mm-hmm. You may use it to filter out some of the bad crew that you have. But if you're going to pay me $1,500, you're going to want to see that we've got some tradespeople. So over the next 2 months, that's what we're going to do. And we're going old school. Boots on the ground. We are hitting construction sites. You know, if you think about, back to my original point about how do you find people? Well, how do you find tradespeople to get them on our app? Well, we're going to Home Depot. We're going to Lowe's. We're going to wholesalers for electrical supplies. And we're actually going to sit in their stores. We're going to construction sites. We were in the city the other day, and you know, on every construction site, you've got all the scaffolding outside. Mm-hmm. We're putting stickers all over those. Yep. We are supplying the coffee trucks that visit job sites with logoed coffee cups with a QR code. So we're running viral campaigns where if you're a tradesperson and you sign up for our app, if you have a friend sign up, you get entered into a contest. If the friend, and it has to be skilled, they've got to be able to pass a skill test. They are from a different trade, you get an extra entry. If they're from a different state, you get an extra entry. We're giving away cash to the most signups, most referrals. So we're mixing old school boots on the ground with, you know, some kind of viral aspect of it.
There you go. I love that, man. I love that you guys are, just back to what we said before, you see this need, you see this problem, you're doing something about it. You're forward thinking with it. You're making it relevant, but like on the technology side, right? Like the dating app and all this other stuff. But what I also like, and there's a lesson in this, I'm a coach. I can't help but like piece things together here. What I love is you're not dismissing the old school marketing tactics of throwing stickers and meeting people and shaking hands and stuff. And I think in our day and age, you know, it's very easy for a contractor to own. And I tell guys all this all the time, like, hey, yeah, the website stuff and all the things that you're doing online are great for your business, but you really want to be a complete company as far as the way you market your business and this and that. You got to meet people. You got to shake hands. You got to get FaceTime with people. And so many guys are just, they're not growing their business because they're not getting enough FaceTime with people. And I think this certainly applies with finding employees too, you know? So I think it's, you know, hats off to you, man. That's why I wanted to have you on, because it's like, you know, every single week we're getting messages like, you know, can you do a video on how to find people and all this other stuff, you know? And I'm like, guys, you got to get out there and you got to hustle. You got to have a recruiting plan. Like, you know, in addition to what you're doing here, which is super simple.
You know, there's two business philosophies that I want to share. One is, and it was from Sandler sales training or one of those sales training things. But they basically, the question was, is the economy affecting your business? And this was back to prior recessions. I can't remember how many years ago, 20 something years ago. And everybody in the group said, oh yeah, absolutely. The economy is affecting our business. And they said, well, what is the value of what you do in your state? So what is the value for me of commercial painting in the state of New Jersey? It's probably $300 million. And it's based on a little bit of data knowing what I do. So whether it's $250 million or $300 million.
Yeah.
And they say, all right, how much business do you do? So maybe at the time I was doing $1 million. And they say, okay, how bad is the economy? Is it 50% off? I say, okay, it's 50%. Even if it's 75%. Well, 50% of $300 million is still $150 million. And if you're only at $1 million, you certainly have a lot of work that you take from somebody else. Mm-hmm. So I know that there are approximately 2.5 million painters in the United States. How do I know this? Because I know how many commercial accounts Sherwin-Williams has. They have 1,000,001 accounts for their stores. And if each one of those stores, each one of those accounts has at least 1 to 2 workers, we're talking about 2 million workers. Yep. And if you have 5, and we break that 2 million down to 50 states and we break it down even smaller, is it that there are no skilled workers out there, or you just don't know how to find them?
Bingo. Yeah.
And so, you know, that's part of the thing that makes me riled up in the morning. Where am I going to find them? You know, I was just walking down the street in New York and I see the stupid stickers on the scaffolding. I said, damn, every guy who walks into this job sees that sticker. Every guy that runs out for coffee sees that sticker. We got to put that sticker right where they're going to see it.
Yeah.
And the other business thing that I always talk about is, you know, cream rises to the top. And if we talk about the coffee business, well, the cream of the crop for the coffee business was Starbucks. And Starbucks came and rebuilt the business model. They said, take something that everybody is selling at 60 cents and charge $3 for it and figure out a way that you're changing the whole coffee world. And they certainly did. And one of the things that they did was that they opened up across the street from coffee shops that were selling it for 60 cents.
Yeah.
And if you're the cream of the crop in construction and you're paying your men a fair wage and you're providing a great opportunity for them, because let me tell you something, you know, in the construction world, that you, with tools in your hand, without even owning your own business, can make either somewhere close to 6 figures or 6 figures as a tradesperson. And you're going to tell me people are buying and working malls and retail stores where they're making $13, $14 an hour. And we're talking about job opportunities where, you know, you can make an incredible living. You can set your own schedule. You can make it as big as you want. You could be a one-man operation. You could be a 100-person operation. There's not many opportunities that are like that in the United States currently, like the construction trades were, will be, and will always be.
Yeah.
It's great 100%, opportunity.
100%. What's cool? I mean, you talk about how quickly the financial needle can move in somebody's life with the trades. Because just look at the job sizes we're doing. We're not selling personal training sessions for $75. You know, you're out there doing a $8,000, $10,000, $50,000 project. Yep. These are big chunks of money, and you get that right. You know, we talked about gross profit earlier, a few percentage points, you know, increase in your gross profit. Now you're making real money. There's real opportunity. And I think what the other big piece that drives me crazy, I love how that you broke down the math of how many, you know, people are in the country and stuff, but like, guys would be like, I'm in Colorado Springs here, you know, around 500,000 population, whatever it is. And, you know, people are like, I can't find anyone to work. I'm like, you're going to tell me there's not 2 or 3 people in this city of 500,000 people that wouldn't be a great fit for your company. You're just not being attractive enough. You got to market for people as much as you have to market for work. To me, it's one and the same. And it's a 365-day thing. You're always hiring. You're always being attractive as a company to build your brand, both for customers and employees. And so, you know, I think, you know, just one of the reasons I do what I do in the fight, why my boots hit the ground, is I'm trying to create a world where the trades are no longer a fallback option for people, where people are looking at the trades going, man, the people that work in the trades and own companies and this and that, they're in shape. They got great relationships. You know, they're cool. They make shit tons of money. Like, that's the reputation that I want contractors to have. Right. And yep. So, and I believe that the shortage of skilled workers in America comes down to the fact that those of us that are running businesses need to do a better job of being attractive of what it means to run a real business. Get your head out of your asses, start making some real money, build a real brand, you know, take the hat off that you're a craftsman first. You are now a business owner first. You need to do the business owner stuff. And I don't want to get going here because I'll start popping a vein in my neck, but this is awesome. And you've gone out and you've created a tool to help this, you know, yeah. So you guys that are listening to this, when the contractor side of this gets rolled out, get on there, man, you know, and you know, it's, what'd you say? It's $1,500 a year. I mean, that's nothing, man.
$1,500 a year.
Yeah. That's nothing to do unlimited searches for positions you need in your company. And I think this is great to spread around on, you know, if you don't already do this, man, we should be able to, like, companies should be able to order stickers so they can put stickers around. You should send people stickers.
Yeah.
When they sign up. When a company signs up, you got to send them stickers, put out 10 stickers around job sites, urinals, scaffolding, you know, stick them on Home Depot's windows, you know, whatever.
And you know, what's interesting is the app is also available in English and Spanish. And you talk about technology. You know, there's not many places in the trades where technology has, you know, dramatically changed our business. I'm still painting with a paintbrush, or still spraying with a spray gun. You know, we're still doing the same things that my grandfather taught me. But when you can use technology to enhance your business, and you know, you have certainly, at least in the area we are, a roadblock with language barriers and things like that. So when you can have an app that, you know, when you're talking to the people via our site, there's instant translation. They're instantly translating what you're saying into Spanish or vice versa. And, you know, I didn't even know this, but your phone, you know, we set it to either English or Spanish. So when you use our app, it knows what language your phone speaks and instantly puts it in there. So, you know, removing all those barriers. So at the end of the day, you know, most of us work with headphones in, listen to our music. Language doesn't make a difference. But in that part of running your business and communicating, whether it be to your staff or even to your clients, you know, anything that technology can help is just a big plus.
100%. I forgot to ask you if it was in Spanish, and you brought that up. I'm glad you did, because I'm sure a lot of people were wondering that. So, well, Brian, man, it was good having you on and hearing a bit of your story and what you got going on with where trades go. So we got wheretradesgo.com. You guys will drop that in the show notes. This will probably come out. I think this is coming out. We're recording this in December. I think it's coming out around mid-January. So it'll be perfect for, you know, won't be too long for the contractor party of this to roll out for those of you that are wondering about that. And man, anything else before you got the mic for the last minute or two here, man? What do you got? Anything you want to drop for us before we get out of here?
No, man. I think what you're doing for contractors, you know, back to my, you don't know what you don't know, and how you find those educational opportunities. You know, the chance of bumping into somebody on the street who's going to change your life is tough. But when you have somebody like yourself, who not only has a track record with their own business, but has, you know, a network of instructors and specialists in those kind of things. Look at you and I. Now we're networking together. Is magic. And when a contractor understands how to run a better business, forgetting about being a better skilled person, you know, at the end of the day, you better be able to deliver a product that makes you proud. Forgetting about your customer being happy, it's got to make you proud. And if you do that, then you got that part. But growing your business, you can't learn that unless somebody's there to teach you. And that's why what you're doing is wonderful. So kudos, man. Kudos.
Well, I appreciate that, man. I appreciate that. So guys, go to wheretradesgo.com and go to the app store on Apple and download it there so that you're ready to go, and share this with all of your contractor friends, because as Brian said, man, the more users you get on this thing, easier it's going to be to, you know, find the people that you need when you need them.
Exactly.
And so I'm fired. I appreciate you carving out some time here, man.
I appreciate the opportunity. Happy holidays to you and your family, and to a new year.
To a new year. I appreciate that, man. All right, guys. Share the show. Give us a rating. Give us a review. You guys rock. I got to roll. I'm out.